Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome.
It's recording day.
Yay.
I feel like our listeners would be so sad if I didn't somewhat sing that every single time.
Oh, why not? How would they know that you recorded this today?
Yeah, they would have no idea. So exactly. Basically, you're welcome, listeners. I'm here for you.
Yeah, I'm like, they care right now. What the hell?
Oh, my goodness. My mic is bothering me today.
Is that?
There we go. Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, what's new? Anything new that we need to, like, you know, update each other about? Anything fun?
This isn't a fun fact.
No?
Oh, no.
Heard in the car on the way here, and this will... air timely. So Danny Masterson was just sentenced to life in prison for raping like several women.
Wait, who is this guy?
From that 70s from, show.
He's
Hyde from that 70s show.
Whoa. Oh.
Yeah, 30 years to life is what he got, showing no visible reaction when his victims came up and said, like, you stole my innocence and stuff like horrific shit.
That is insane.
Yeah. That is.
In a good way, though.
And, you know, I always wonder, like, when something like that happens, that they're at higher risk of death by suicide. Even
sure.
If, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I don't think it's hit him. Like, boom.
Yeah.
Right.
This is it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that's
our good old buddy Jeffrey.
Not fun fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not our good buddy, but some people, apparently, good buddy.
Oh, God.
You guys, it has been a month of Mondays, so bear with us all.
Oh, yeah.
So what are we talking about today, Fran?
We are talking about who should I see? Not me, because obviously there aren't enough people.
We would need a longer list.
Yeah. Right? Who should I see for help?
And I think this is really good because I think there is a ton of confusion within the mental health world about who does what and what does it all mean and freaking alphabet after your name. So
before we do the factoid, Brody, I'm going to do this. I'm going to beg. Can I beg? Because I haven't begged in a long time.
I love nothing more.
Oh, really? Okay. So imagine me down on one knee because I have a bad left knee. could you guys write us review? Would you just do that, please? That'd be awesome.
And go give us 5 stars too.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yep.
Okay.
It really does we say this every week, but it really does just help us become more discoverable and get our message of destigmatizing mental health and making it something relatable and talkable out there. So
yeah,
I'd appreciate it.
Wow. You guys did that so well.
Thank you.
We've been listening to you for weeks.
Yes. So.
Taking notes.
A good role model.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Frantastic Factoid.
Did you know there are over 1 million mental health professionals in the U.S., including psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, counselors, and social workers? And not included in that, but I was thinking pastors, coaches, support groups, in person and online, right?
It doesn't seem like there's more than 1 million because there's such a shortage. I don't care where you live or who you talk to. They will tell you that there is a shortage of mental health workers.
And that it's taking a minimum of 3 months to get in to see anybody.
Yeah.
And that's minimum.
Yeah. It's just wild.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wild. So these people help their clients cope with stress and trauma, manage mental illness and substance use disorders, and build healthier relationships. And so our goal today is to talk about the options you have available when you need help and to understand the difference between all the letters.
Yeah, I can see where it would be confusing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a lot of ways. I always get me as a psychologist, people call me a psychiatrist versus mm-hmm. psychologist and don't understand that. Well, anyway, we're going to clarify that. So let's start with psychologists. So a psychologist has a doctorate degree, and that is not an MD. Even though I go by doctor, I do not have an MD. You can either have a PhD, an EDD, a PsyD. Those are very common ones. Or I go by queen. I mean, I'm not really picky.
That's what she makes people call her.
Right. Or
Dr. Queen. If you're...
Yeah, Dr. Queen or my
if you're
queen.
Nasty.
I'm totally, yeah.
Sorry. Well, shout out to Janet.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
goodness.
Okay. So psychologists have training specifically in psychotherapy and mental health assessment, but they typically do not prescribe medication. This is the confusing thing. Mm-hmm. There are a handful of states, though, where a psychologist can get some additional training, and then they can actually get prescribing privileges.
But I think it's pretty few, right?
Not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot of them.
No.
I have had people ask me, can you prescribe? I'm like, nobody wants that.
Yeah.
There's not a world where I should be in charge of that.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine having to know. I mean, even Brian, everything you have to know to go into that, yuck, no. Psychologists often provide talk therapy in 45 to 50 minute weekly sessions. And sometimes it can go every other week, kind of just depends. And they'll focus on coping skills, recovering from trauma, or any other specific symptoms or concerns.
Yeah. Some do evaluations for the court. Some do custody evaluations. Some do evals for school, disability evals, vocational rehabilitation evals. Some do evals for bariatric surgery. I was trained to do testing, and mm-hmm. I find it so incredibly boring. I think takes a special animal. Even though I love doing research, I did not like doing evaluations. It was very...
I think it'd be fun.
No,
It's a lot of writing, correct?
It's a lot of writing, but I just like the interaction, like getting to know someone and the talking and the listening and that kind of thing. So a shout out to the psychologists that do that, because it's...
Or that do the custody evaluations. Oh, you could not pay me enough money to do that.
No, and the liability for them, super high.
Because you just know that at the end of your evaluation, somebody's going to be pissed off as hell at you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you got to have a real tough skin, because it's not like a popularity contest winning choice of career at all.
Right. Licensure requires passing a written and oral exam in South Dakota, and that can vary state by state, but I'm going to guess it's fairly common. And you must complete a postdoctoral internship as well.
I did mine at Northeastern Mental Health Center. Mm-hmm. For that, and that was in the year 1816.
It was a hut. It was a hut in the north field.
Oh, Brody,
surrounded by cows.
Yeah, a grass hut. I like that the state wasn't even incorporated then. So really, you must have been one of the first. So practicing for 50 years before the state was
even
incorporated.
I'm going to do it. She was a pioneer. God. Oh my God, that was terrible.
I give you guys a little bit, and it's like Brody literally like rubs his hands together and pulls them closer to the microphone. He's like, oh my God.
When you pitch him straight down the middle like that, Fran, come on now.
Okay, you guys, seriously, on my intake, I was requested because I am a mature therapist. I think wanted a mature therapist.
Oh, they mature as an age.
It was a very nice way of saying it. But
because they may have, I mean, once you showed up, or they're like, oh, we've made a terrible mistake.
We wanted you to actually act mature. Right. Exactly.
And you roll up into this bitch like you do. So.
Exactly. Yeah. But oftentimes I am like, people want someone who is older because they feel like if someone is younger, they may not have as much life experience. So this isn't the first time this happens, you know, so there is some
benefit. I have had that bias, but then I also think if they're younger, maybe their knowledge is fresher.
Maybe.
You know, because you and I have forgotten more than what a lot of people know.
I dust off my stone tablets before I see new clients.
I have to tell you guys this, though. Speaking of mature, so I met with a student this morning, and we were talking about somebody we know in common who's very intelligent. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, he's like really... and then at the same time, he said knowledgeable, and I said knows his shit.
There you go.
One of us was 51. Yes. One of us is college age. One of us said knows his shit.
Okay.
Well, oh, my gosh. All right. Can't take me anywhere.
Back to psychologists. We can work in a variety of settings like private practice, hospitals, schools and universities, research institutions. I mean, a lot of them will teach at universities and conduct research studies.
But there are those that just because I had a, I guess he was a teacher, but his main passion as a psychologist was research. That's mm-hmm. all he wanted to do. He didn't want to talk to other people.
Yeah.
And he was really good. I had him for statistics. So shocker there.
Yeah. I just think like the field of mental health right now is being utilized. I mean, you think about it like in solving crimes Even, I mean, think about all of the television shows and Netflix series that incorporate crime and documentaries. I mean, all of those are bringing in mental health professionals to help write those scripts. And
There's one on Investigation Discovery. I want to say it's called like Makings of a Psychopath or something like that. And that's all they have on there are forensic psychologists. So interesting.
Yeah.
Some of the tasks that psychologists can perform might include providing therapy, assessing and diagnosing mental health problems, conducting research, teaching and training, or consultations.
A psychiatrist, dun, dun, dun. Now we're moving on to psychiatrists, is a medical doctor with an MD, and they have specific training in mental health. So they are focused primarily on the medical treatment of mental disorders.
And so patient visits with them are typically pretty fast, often just 15 minutes, and focused on ensuring that they're taking, their patients are taking the right medications in the right dosages to achieve the desired effects. And I love it that we're talking about this because I've had so many people say, oh, I saw Dr. So-and-so and all he did or all she did was ask me how my symptoms are doing.
Yeah.
Like they don't ask me the things you do, Becky.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, absolutely. And I'm not going to ask you what they ask you.
Right.
Because it's just two different things.
Right. And expecting kind of the same thing.
Yeah. To talk about what was childhood like or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, while some psychiatrists do psychotherapy, some do not, and some do collaborate, the good ones, collaborate with other mental health professionals like psychologists or counselors, because I think comprehensive care is so critical.
Huge.
It is so nice to be able to say, hey, this is what I'm seeing now that they've been on Lexapro for 3 weeks in my office, and these are the side effects, and this is working or this isn't working, because I mean, face it, when we tell someone what our symptoms are or how we're acting, we're a little skewed, right? It's kind of nice to have the outside mental health professional who's objective.
That, and I think too, as a lay person, you're not going to have the same vocabulary that we do. And so we can put it into more of that professional jargon.
Like shit?
Like shit, yeah. Like what I was just saying.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like shit. Whereas Fran might call my doctor and say, she seems a little dysphoric. I'm over here going, I feel like shit.
Right. Gotcha.
This is not an age joke, but in all seriousness, like how has the, because electronic medical records haven't, I mean, those are within what, the last 10 years? How did that change the collaboration process?
Well, if you're not in the same system, it doesn't matter because, you know, you've got to take that extra step and get them, like I'm not in a mental, in a, like an Avira system or a Sanford system, right? That person, that psychiatrist or that doctor, we still have to call each other or email each other. You know what I mean?
And you still have to have the release of information in place to be able to do that.
Yeah. And a lot of them, I mean, no fault of theirs, but you work for an institution, they're saying you need to see multiple clients in a day. They're making money, right? And so they're having back-to-back clients. A lot of them don't even have time to make phone calls. You know, it's hard.
It can take a minute to get a call back. Patient visit with psychiatrists. Oh, I just said that. Never mind. Just in case you forgot that. Psychiatrists can work in hospitals, either just general hospital or also psychiatric hospitals, private practice, community mental health centers, universities and research institutions, or they might be in government agencies like the Department of Veteran Affairs or the National Institute of Health.
So there are other professionals that can prescribe psychiatric medication. Like we talked about, some psychologists in some states, PAs, which are physician assistants, medical doctors, like a regular general practitioner, and NPs, which are nurse practitioners. So for us with Carencia.com on our site, they're all nurse practitioners, psychiatric nurse practitioners.
And we have the same thing at Northern. We have, they're called mid-level providers. So we either have a physician's assistant or a certified nurse practitioner.
You have somebody on campus that prescribes medicine? I never knew that.
Depending on what it is. I mean, they're very hesitant. Like if somebody comes in and says, I need Adderall,
right?
Might be a bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
But yeah, if somebody comes in and just needs, you know, some Zoloft or something like that, they do the evaluation and can prescribe the medication.
I had no idea. Did you know that, Brody?
I did not.
Yeah. See, this is why we do what we do.
The best thing is we have a wonderful woman by the name of Anna, who's our patient service rep, and she is phenomenal at her job. So I'm going to give a shout out to Anna because she's the bomb.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So now let's talk about counselors.
Let's do.
I do like counselors.
Yeah, I know.
And there is a big push to call ourselves counselors. So if you go to counseling.org, there is a big thing that they want us to identify. So because sometimes they'll say therapists, but is that a physical therapist? Is that an occupational therapist? So they, I am a licensed professional counselor.
Got it.
And states regulate our licensure exams and the licensing process. It is a lot to jump through. Every therapist must have a license or work under supervision. In addition to the training and exams, it does require a graduate degree. So if you go through the first level of licensure, you can do private practice, but cash only. Mm-hmm. You have to get the second level of licensure then to be able to be accepted by insurance companies.
Okay.
So there's two exams you get to sit through.
Wonderful. Sounds like good times.
It's great.
Okay. So let's say your mental health professional behaved unprofessionally.
I can't imagine a world in when that would happen.
I know. Like they want, let's say they had sex with their client.
That would be bad.
Right? That would be very bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. Most mental health professionals they were under a licensing boards. Mm-hmm. So you can go online and you can file an ethics complaint, report them to their board. And that is a way for them to be investigated and disciplined if they cross those boundaries.
And that's why I am such a big proponent of licensure, whether you're a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a counselor or a social worker. I think it's important to have, if you're going to be treating people's mental health, I think it's important because you're having to adhere to higher standards mm-hmm. than somebody who's not licensed. Because for me, it's every 2 years. I don't know what it is for psychologists, but we have to fill out paperwork that says, I've done my continuing ed, I've done my ethics continuing ed. I haven't, been convicted of a felony, mm-hmm. all that good stuff.
Right.
Whereas if you don't, you're not held to that higher standard.
Right. Yeah. Ours is annual. We have to get continuing ed credits or CEUs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Yeah. Counselors offer guidance, support, and interventions to help you develop the skills and resources you need to lead a healthy, fulfilling life. We can work in private practice, community mental health centers, schools, shout out to Northern, or rehabilitation centers.
So, okay, give an example, like with school, because I think school counselors are totally underappreciated, like especially mm-hmm. I'm thinking like elementary schools and high schools. Like, for example, what do you see their role as serving primarily? And what's the difference between like going to a counselor in a elementary school versus a private practice?
I do think that most school counselors are doing assessing. Depending on what level, if you're talking high school, then they're helping you with scholarships and exploration for skills and aptitudes after that. I, in my opinion, do not have the time to do the 45 to 50 minute therapy hour mm-hmm. like somebody in private practice does or in a community mental health center. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
their job is insane.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And they're dealing with like behavioral problems. So kids that are lacking social skills, kids that are showing up without a winter coat, mm-hmm. They have so many multiple yeah. roles. So many times like a school counselor will refer a child
yes.
to a private practice clinician or a mental health professional. But I mean, their role is pivotal because they're the ones every day in the trenches seeing the kids that have needs.
So I'm guessing like for you who you see people under the age of 18, that has to be such a crucial resource for you to get collateral information because mm-hmm. you're seeing them once a week, once every other week. And like you said, this person is seeing them every single day. Mm-hmm. And so their professional insight has to be so valuable.
It's super valuable. And they're just key resources. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like, for example, if parents can't afford therapy right off the bat, or mm-hmm. they're just in the middle of trying to get insurance, they can at least have that child connect with a school counselor to make yes. sure that the kid's on track.
Absolutely.
Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, mm-hmm. where you can get a school counseling degree on the school track, where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it KCREP approved?
It is KCREP approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu,
yeah.
you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby. Okay, counselors offer support and guidance.
I just said that.
Oh, you did?
Didn't I?
No, I don't think you did.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, you did, but it was up
counselors
there.
Counselors work in.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, counselors provide therapy.
We just lost 75 listeners.
I know. They're all like, you know what? You people can't even get your own shit together. So we're out. Okay, they help you develop coping skills, improve your communication and problem-solving skills. They develop treatment plans based on their diagnostic assessment of you. And they also provide a lot of referral information. They could refer you to a psychiatrist or, you know, a lot of my clients, I'll say, when is the last time you had a physical? And they look at me with deer in the headlights like, yeah. What's that? Like, we refer you to get medical care, support groups, other community resources. I definitely see a lot of crossover between what psychologists, what master level social workers do and counselors do in private practice.
I agree.
A lot of crossover.
So tell us more about this because we didn't have this at the in your factoid.
I know, the marriage and family therapist.
Yes, one more.
Yeah. So they are trained specifically to help couples and families improve relationships and resolve conflicts and improve their communication. And I just think I'm such a huge fan of Gottman training.
Oh, absolutely.
That is like the gold standard of relationships. Again, when you're looking these people up online, if they're Gottman trained,
certified,
yes, that is the gold standard.
Go see them. Marriage and family therapists may conduct assessments to determine the severity of the problems. They can provide therapy, develop treatment plans. They can also offer education and resources. They do collaborate with other professionals like medical doctors, social workers, counselors, psychologists to provide comprehensive care. So that is your licensed marriage and family therapist. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to talk about social workers.
Okay.
Another valuable, I think we're all cogs in one wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we overlap, like you said, and but I think every one of them is important. Social workers provide a wide range of services to help individuals, families, and communities overcome challenges and achieve better outcomes. They focus on building relationships and helping people access these resources, as well as solve problems and improve their lives.
I think a lot of social workers get a bad rap. You know, especially like if you work for Child Protective Services, DSS, you know, they get a bad rap. Like, oh no, they're coming to get you, you know, they're after you or whatever. And it's like, you know, they don't wake up in the morning and they're like, hey, let's go bust somebody.
Right.
You know, their role is to keep families integrated and they want to keep kids safe. I mean, that's what they are usually going to because they want to help people.
Exactly.
So they help people cope with the following challenges: poverty, unemployment, abuse, addiction, mental health problems, any issues that impact a person's ability to function effectively or to provide sufficient care for their kids, whatever the barriers may be.
And if you have a licensed clinical social worker, then they can provide therapy on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trained to do therapy just like a psychologist or a licensed professional counselor. But it's important to know that not every social worker wants to do that. Because I remember when I worked at the hospital, we had a couple of social workers and they didn't want to touch therapy with a 10-foot pole. However, if I had a, I mean, there was one guy, just he had a Rolodex in his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, like, somebody needs help with pickleball out by Buffalo, South Dakota.
Yeah.
And he would just do. Oh, okay, you should call blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was just the connections and the resources were phenomenal. So invaluable. Yeah, it was wild.
And, you know, that's a really important point because, like, for example, a lot of people, let's say your 86-year-old mother breaks her hip, right? And she's going in the hospital. And now all of a sudden she's lived independently all these years. She's not going back home. She can't live independently anymore. You know, a lot of people don't even think about bring the social worker in because we need to figure out what are all the options. Would she qualify for Meals on Wheels? Would she qualify for in-home health? Are we looking at putting her in a nursing home? What are we doing here?
And what, so let's say it is a nursing home. What does that involve?
Yeah.
Because it's not just like you call and say, I'm bringing my mom tomorrow.
Right.
And they can really help you navigate all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They are very underutilized.
As the social worker in the room, because I do have a master's in social work.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. But it's what I always encourage people to think about with social work is how what a generalist degree it really is. And I think you've pointed all that out, that if you're want to you want to go into a helping field, right? But me, I am one of those people who did not touch therapy. Mm-hmm. I sat in for one class and I said, nope, I'm switching out of this. So I worked in healthcare, and it was a lot of fun. But it's, you can do therapy, but you certainly don't have to. And it's not like nursing where you're dirty and really in there, but the helping profession, social work, has so many, avenues to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even like you're not in the field, so to speak, right now, but right. What you were educated on and the skills that you learned, you utilize with customer service and your employees every single day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the HR alone, I mean, just dealing with people's life and problems and all that. But the being able to connect people together, that's a really great skill that I learned it in other jobs before I went to grad school, but that certainly helps. And just getting connected in the community is an important thing.
For sure.
So, life coaches.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry, I adjusted my chair. Did you guys notice I was sinking?
No.
Yeah, I kept sinking, so I adjusted my chair.
Okay.
Now I had to adjust my microphone. Thanks for hanging in there, guys.
for those watching on the YouTubes.
Yeah, on the YouTubes, on the interweb. So, life coaching. What is a life coach? So, think of them as like an action-oriented mentor who can help you reach your goals.
So what exactly does a life coach do? Well, think about what a sports coach does, not Jerry Sandusky, but the other sports coaches that are not perpetrating on children. Okay, they help an individual or a team identify what is our goal, winning, and then they develop a plan for that person or group. So it's pretty straightforward. It's not like all this touchy-feely stuff. It's like we are setting a goal. We're being very objective. How do we reach the goal? Mm-hmm.
Coaching is about helping people identify the obstacles that keep getting in their way and then assisting them with finding motivation and pinpointing what the resistance might be to any change.
So there are lots of different kinds of coaches. In addition, there's business coaches, executive coaches, leadership coaches, and health coaches.
And I think this next part is so important. You're not going to go to a life coach to get a mental health diagnosis or deal with clinical issues. They have not had that training. Mm-hmm. Also, there are no regulations or standard of care for life coaches. So I think what makes me a little sad sometimes is if somebody in our profession, whether it's a psychologist or a counselor, gets professionally reprimanded or maybe even gets their license taken away, a lot of them will then go into life coaching because you can. And that always scares me just a little bit because like half of my brain says maybe they learned for their lesson and now they're going to be better and do better. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of me is like, well, now they don't have anybody overseeing them and they can do whatever the hell they want to.
Yeah.
So do your best to vet the individuals. So look for ones who have received training through a certifying body, such as ICF or CCE, and it can take up to 6 months to get certified. Most are not licensed therapists or counselors, or they were maybe at one time.
Right. So, Becky, what do you think about people? Like, what if somebody, do you think it would be useful or not helpful if you see a counselor and a life coach at the same time?
I think it would depend on what the life coaching looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see where it could go hand in hand if they're doing this over here and doing this over here. My fear would be, just like we don't want them to see two counselors at the same time, my fear would be conflicting messages.
Yeah.
And then as a human, you're probably going to go with whoever's telling you what you want to hear versus what you need to hear. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just off the top of my head.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about it. Like for me, let's say that I'm working with a life coach and we have a release. We can talk with each other and work together. Like, let's say my client is super, super depressed and they're really struggling with their health, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm dealing with the mental health aspect, but I can see where a life coach that specializes like a health coach is helping them with accountability, helping them stick to their exercise routine. I mean, it could be very beneficial.
I agree completely. And I like what the part that you said about having that release in place so that you can talk with each other. I think that's where you're going to get the best.
Yeah. Oh, but by the way, most coaching is not paid for by insurance. In fact, none of it is that I know of.
No, I don't think so. Again, it goes back to insurance wants to make sure that you've jumped through all the hoops and somebody's overseeing you.
Yeah.
So because coaching is less regulated, well, I guess I just said this. So sometimes, sorry about that. So sometimes you get in trouble, you pivot.
Right.
You become exactly. a life coach. And again, that's neither good nor bad. You just got to be careful.
Okay. This factoid is scary, and it speaks mm-hmm. to what you were just talking about. A 2016 study of therapists who had been disciplined or had their licenses revoked, which is pretty serious, found that all as an ALL of those in the study whose licenses had been revoked for misconduct had simply switched to becoming coaches. Now, again, I don't want to give people a bad rap.
No,
because I think there's a lot of good life coaches.
Yes.
But as a consumer, you may want to ask them, were you ever licensed as a mental health professional or mm-hmm. disciplined in your field? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that might be an okay question to ask.
I think so. And I've had people over the years, like I had somebody say to me one time, oh yeah, I was seeing this person she was my counselor. But we just hit it off so well that we decided I'd get a new counselor and we would just be friends. Mm-hmm. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, no,
yeah.
you can't do that. As a counselor, you can't do that. Just it's a dual relationship. Yeah.
Right.
But as a life coach, you could. And if you have somebody with really good boundaries, that might be able to work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have somebody with shitty boundaries, then you could be taken advantage of.
Right. What do you think about people that see pastors for mental health issues?
Again, I think it depends, because I think I know that there are some pastors out there and some priests who have gone and had additional training.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it can be beneficial. However, if there's very little to no training, then I think we could get into trouble. Just like if you come to me wanting some in-depth spiritual stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to refer you out to whatever faith you're questioning or want to learn more about, mm-hmm. because I am not even close to an expert on that.
Yeah. And I just learned, I didn't realize, but I mean, you're like, if you become like a Christian counselor, there's like certification in that. Like mm-hmm. I can't just say I'm a Christian counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get training in that, mm-hmm. you know? So what you're talking about, I think what you're talking about is like, if you're a pastor, you've obviously had a lot of that training. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, you're getting mental health training.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, because this is a question, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is a question that gets asked often over the years, is, are you a Christian counselor? To which I will answer, I am a Christian and a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to incorporate your faith into therapy, we sure can.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm not a Christian counselor,
yeah.
If you don't want to incorporate faith, I'm fine with that as well. Or if you want to incorporate whatever your faith is, if you're Native American, we can take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say it's hard to find a Christian counselor, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what you're saying, the formally trained one. But
right.
I think especially in our neck of the woods, if you're looking for a counselor who's also Christian, you're going to find most of us are, or mm-hmm. a good chunk of us anyway.
Yeah. But yeah,
it's what you're looking for.
It's what you're looking for. Yep. Because if you want to go to somebody and you want to like therapy that incorporates actual scripture, whatever
right.
that religion of yours is, then yeah, you need somebody with that particular training.
Yeah. So we're going to skip. Well, we won't skip this. What's the difference between a therapist and a counselor? Not much. And so like I said earlier, they are used interchangeably, but as a licensed professional counselor, that's how we prefer to be referred to as, is a counselor. So we're trained in healing conversations. We can assess, diagnose, and treat a full range of mental health disorders.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what we're trying to encourage you as consumers is when you're in doubt, do your research. Yeah. You know, when you buy shit off Amazon, are you not looking at the reviews?
Always.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Look at the reviews, ask around, like in a small town around here, people know people,
mm-hmm.
find out what, you know, who has a good reputation. If credentials and licensure are important to you, then find out mm-hmm. what are their credentials? Are they at the highest level of licensure? Are they being supervised? Is that important to you? Are you, it's kind of like when you get your hair done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got to tell you a true story about
Uh-oh.
This. Oh
Uh-oh.
My God. So one day I get, look at my hair, you guys. I literally dry cut it myself. I'm very impulsive with my hair. Well, one day I was like, my hair was super long. It was like to the middle of my back. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the only person who can get me in this second because I have zero patience. And it was a student.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm not going to say where or whatever, but all I can tell you is that bitch gave me a mullet and I'm not
oh,
lying.
No.
So the front of my hair was chin length and the back was to the middle of my back.
No.
Yes. So I started crying, and then I called my friend in Groton who'd mm-hmm. been cutting hair forever. And I said, could you please? And I told her my son, and I'm like, and she, anyway, so I walked through the door and I sit down and I'm like, what can you do? And she went to the refrigerator and she cracked a beer open. And she said, drink this because honey, we got to go chin length.
Yeah.
And yeah. So if you want, if experience is important to you when you need mental health treatment, then you have to look at how many years of service have they been in the profession, right?
It's funny you say that because one year it was Easter was coming up and I needed to get my eyebrows waxed. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing. I called around. I went to the first person I could get into. And I kid you not, half of one of my eyebrows got waxed off. What? I knew it as soon as the wax came off. I'm like, I am missing half of a fucking eyebrow.
No.
And so...
did they grow back?
Well, yeah, they grew back. But... I had half an eyebrow for a while.
Right.
So she hands me the mirror and I'm like, you took off half my eyebrow. And she goes, well, I'll give you a free eyebrow pencil. And I said, I have eyebrow pencils at home. What I don't have is the other half of my eyebrow. And this was almost 20 years ago. So I'm working at Avera at the time. And we're in the nurse's station. I'm bitching about it. And Dr. Mace is like, oh, you ladies are always complaining. You look fine, Becky. You look fine. I said, wheel a little closer.
Yeah.
And he wheels up. He goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, no. No.
And that's like, if you can get me in today, I'm probably not going to go.
Oh, yes. That's very true. Although
you're going to have half a haircut or half an eyebrow or both.
Right.
So you had a friend who cut hair and you didn't like see if they could squeeze you in first?
She was busy. She was booked up. And so
obviously not that booked up.
Well, Fran made her work after hours and harder because now instead of giving Fran a trim, she had to fix the whole damn thing.
So I called her at like 7 o'clock at night bawling.
There's nothing worse than the conciliatory or like the haircut redo.
I know.
Especially when you go see the person that you should have seen the first time and you say, I'm sorry I cheated on you.
Yes.
Please will you fix this. And
my experience has been though, most of them have been in the same situation where they wanted to get their hair done quickly and they either did it themselves and it wasn't something they're really proficient at, or they just got in and they're, so I think most of them are understanding and not too judgy, or at least judgy behind your back. Maybe.
Right. So if you want a particular kind of therapy, make sure the person you choose does have training and experience. And, you know, maybe you want a certain kind of therapy like cognitive behavioral therapy, EMDR, Gottman train, years of experience of 20 plus years, whatever. Also, do not underestimate the power of a good support group. You know, those are online. They're in person. There are ones that churches put out. I mean, there's just a variety of really good support groups that I think you can use with individual therapy or for some people, like the support group is enough.
And I think too, I'm going to say at the very least, look for licensure, right? Mm-hmm. However, there is a whole, I mean, it takes a few years to get licensed. And so don't also let it scare you away. You know, if they are being supervised at the time, there is a really good chance that you're going to get high quality therapy, not only by your therapist, but they will also be staffing cases with their supervisor. Mm-hmm. I want people to make sure that just because they're a student or just because they're learning or in training doesn't mean you aren't going to get high quality.
Right.
So our sources for today, this is where Fran goes for everything, Oprah Daily.
Yeah. Hey, I'm open to all learning.
Your sources over the last 4 years have shown us that. That's very obvious.
I make shit up.com. No.
Yeah.
Benjamin Caldwell, PsyD, so Dr. Caldwell, and then Psych Central.
We are the shrinks.
And that's a wrap.